In October, the boys lined up before the Queen to be made members of the Order of the British Empire.
The man shouted out George Harrison, John Lennon, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. And Starr was the cue for us to walk forward, left foot first. It was just like a show.
And we bowed and then we walked to the Queen, then we walked back and bowed. And we walked away.
Left foot forward.
Yes, we always started.
We were drilled beforehand by some big guardsman fella. And every time he was reading out the names and he got to Ringo Starr, he kept cracking up.
Nice man.
The only people there was nobody trying to get at us, though. They were all friendly, you know.
All the people
waiting for
it.
We did about 50 autographs.
We signed for all the people waiting to get their MBEs and OBEs.
Yeah, they were all nice, you know. And there's only one fella who said, I want it for my daughter. I don't know what she sees in you.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Then they were introduced to Her Majesty the Queen.
She said to me, have you been working hard lately? And I couldn't think what we had been doing, so I said, no, we've been having a holiday, but we'd been recording, but I couldn't remember that.
And then she said to me, what did she say? Oh, have you been together long? And I said, yes. Well, wasn't a joke. I said, yes, many years. And Ringo said, 40 years.
And we all sung at the same time.
She laughed.
Yes, she laughed.
We all had a little laugh.
She just said,
it's a pleasure to give you this.
You know, that's what she said to everyone. And then she put John's on and said to him,
you'll
be working hard.
I must have looked shattered.
I was just butting in while she spoke to everyone else. She said, did you start it all? And I said, no, they did.
And then he said, I'm the little one.
I said, I joined last, I'm the little fellow. As I am.
Wasn't that cute?
Yeah. Look at him, he's smiling.
The Beatles had plenty to smile about. Later, Chris Denning asked them why they thought they'd been given the MBE.
I don't know. Probably got it for making money and that for Britain. I'd say at a rough guess.
You think so, really?
Yeah, well, you know.
They make more than we do.
Yeah.
Who do?
Britain do.
Oh, I see. What do you think about it, Ringo?
It's nice, you know. I enjoy being an MBE.
Are you going to kind of put it after your name on your records and things?
No, and you needn't stay on your knees.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I want to tell her that I love her a lot, but I gotta get a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm going to make her mine, oh yeah, someday I'm going to make her mine.
On December the 3rd, 1963, they issued another LP record, produced by George Martin, as usual.
I think Rubber Soul, really, was the first of the albums which really presented a new Beatles to the world. Up to then, we had been making albums rather like a collection of their singles, and now we were really beginning to think about albums as a bit of art on their own, you know, being a bit pompous about it, but we were trying to think of the album as an entity of its own, and Rubber Soul, I think, was the first one to emerge in this way.
I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me.
Norwegian Wood, or This Bird Has Flown, featuring John's vocal, with some help from Paul, and George showing his interest in the sitar. It was mainly written by John whilst he and George Martin were on a skiing holiday in St. Moritz with their wives.
Is there anybody going to listen to my story, all about the girl who came to stay? She's the kind of girl you want so much it makes you sorry. Still you don't regret a single day. Oh, girl. hard to leave her. She will turn to me and start to cry. And she promises the earth to me, and I believe her. After all this time, I don't know why. Ah, girl. Girl, girl. She's the kind of girl who puts you down when friends are there, you feel a fool. When you say she's looking good, she acts as if it's understood she's cool.
Smith, the recording engineer.
The musical progress, shall we call it, or the musical change that they were going through did involve greater thought in terms of sounds. They became more fussy. Nicely so, of course. I mean, obviously, they wanted to improve their sounds. They had to, I suppose, try to think of new sounds. And this meant a certain amount of experimentation. It certainly meant a good deal more frustration.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like
I wondered if Michelle on that album would have struck the boys as a good single.
No, a lot of people said that, but see, there are songs which we like, but we wouldn't like to have out as singles, because it's a very funny thing about putting a single out. You know, I think we always used to think for a single we'll have to have something that's pretty fast. I don't know why, you know, just because they always sounded like the singles, you know, the faster ones. And so when we did Michelle, and we all thought it was okay, you know, but we just didn't want it out as representative of us at the time.
Michelle, my belle, these are words that go together well. My Michelle, Michelle. That's all I want to say. Until I find a way, I will say the only words I know that you understand. Michelle, my belle, someday more keep on, play bien on some, play bien on some. I need to make you see all what you mean to me. Until I do, I'm hoping you will know what I mean. I love you.
get to you somehow. Until I do, I'm telling you so you'll understand. Please share my bell. Sunday morning, keep on, très bien ensemble, très bien ensemble. And I will say the only words I know that you'll understand, my Michelle.
Four tracks from Rubber Soul. Beatles in quieter mood, with a hint of a more serious approach to their music. The start of 1966 heard this new sound jumping about the charts. The Beatles, having completed a tour of Britain with the Moody Blues just before Christmas, didn't go into a Christmas show as they had done 2 years previously. George got married on January the 21st to model Patty Boyd, whom he'd first met whilst filming, and throughout the spring, the Beatles spent most of their time in the recording studio. June the 10th, another smash single.
Paperback writer's eye.
Shortly afterwards, on June the 24th, they went back to Hamburg for the first time since 1962. Then on to Japan, where thousands of police were assigned to guard them following threats on their lives if they played the sacred Budokan Hall. The pressures were building. In Manila, they got a really hot reception. Unknown to them, it seems they were expected to go to the palace to meet the president and his lady. Vic Lewis, who set up the tour, told Brian Epstein about the dilemma.
Somebody said that we're supposed to be at the garden party. I know nothing about it, and I'm sure you don't. Of course, he said he didn't. And he said, we're not going. So I said, now, wait a minute, I don't think we ought to say we're not going. I said, we're in a foreign country. And I think we ought to think about it. So Brian, in the way that he was, turned around and said, I'm not thinking about it. As far as I'm concerned, we received no official invitation from the palace or from the president, and as such, I'm not going to have the boys go round there.
Within a couple of hours, the newspapers and television news carried the story of the Beatles snubbing the president.